Adoration to your name. Worship to your name. Let not one person leave you the same way they have come. Thank you for the privilege of knowing and relating with you. We worship and honor you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I'd like to also particularly welcome everyone who rejoiced with us as we marked our birth anniversary, the privilege of God given to us to touch our life, our world and our generation. We pray that the Lord will reward you. Please, if your text message or message was not replied, it's not because it's not important. There were so many messages. The Lord reward and honor everyone in Jesus' precious name. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. I welcome you to the blessing Sunday of the month of June, the month of wisdom. He said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, of wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou can desire are not to be compared unto her, that is unto wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. The subject this morning is titled, The Blessing of Wisdom, Part 2. We are here to understand the blessing of wisdom, and secondly, to understand divine wisdom ways into the blessing. The blessing of wisdom. Understanding the blessing of wisdom. Understanding divine wisdom ways into the blessing. Our text we just read made it abundantly clear that the way of wisdom is the way of the blessing. It is not possible to follow the way of wisdom and escape the world of the blessing. That the way of wisdom is the way of the blessing of God. Three things we saw. We saw about six things, but I'll mention three in this service regarding wisdom and the blessing. Number one, we saw that wisdom is the way of profit or gain. Proverbs 3:14, it said, the gain thereof is more than that of fine gold. The way of wisdom is the way of profit, is the way of gain. Ecclesiastes 10 and in verse 10 said, if the iron be blunt and it does not sharpen the edge, you must put more strength to it. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Behind profit is wisdom. Behind losses is the absence of wisdom. So wisdom makes life profitable, not wastable. Secondly, wisdom is the way of productivity. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 18, he said that wisdom is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. The way of wisdom is the way of productivity, is the way of resourcefulness, is the way of fruitfulness. Every wise man will live a productive life. Every wise woman will live a resourceful life. Very important. Your life is productive. Your time is productive. Your effort is productive. Thirdly, wisdom is the way of peace. Is the way of peace. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 17. He said the path of wisdom. He said her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are paths of peace. That is, wisdom is the way of peace. Is the way of wholeness. Where nothing is missing. Where nothing is lacking. Where nothing is broken. The meaning of that is wisdom delivers from crisis. The absence of wisdom is the abundance of crisis. Crisis in the home. Crisis in business. Crisis in life. All of this put together confirms that the way of wisdom is the way of the blessing. You go further into scripture in Ezekiel chapter 28 and in verse 4 to verse 5, it confirms how wisdom is connected to wealth, how wisdom is tied to resources, how wisdom is tied to finances. Verse 4, Ezekiel 28, he said, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten the riches. And has gotten gold and silver into thy resources, into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. Unfortunately for that guy, but your heart is lifted up because of your riches. That will never be your portion.
In the name
that is above every name, in this month of wisdom,
God is going to give a rain of divine ideas, a rain of divine wisdom, a rain of divine direction that will multiply your resources, that will push you, usher you into the realm of great abundance and substance. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen.
Let us look at the wisdom ways, divine wisdom ways, into the world of wealth, scripturally. What do we do to arrive at the world of wealth? Number one, like I said in the last service, we have about 8 points. I could have shared them into two, but every point is important for everybody to hear. So I'm dealing with them, except with different references and scriptures. Number one, obey the law of the tithe. Obey the law of the tithe. Leviticus chapter 27 and in verse 30, he said, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land and of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. All the tithe of the land. I've had people ask me a question. Do I only pay tithe from my salary? If I receive a gift, do I tithe it? All the tithe of the land. As a matter of fact, in my own house, if raw food comes, we give out of it. I believe that what we give out of it is far beyond what you can call a tithe. All the tithe of the land. All the tithe of the land. All the tithe of the land. We earlier on showed in Genesis chapter 14 verse 18 to 20 and confirmed that the tithe existed before the law. And here we are. Now Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 to 12. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast out fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. Somebody say aloud, amen. What is the tithe doing for you? The tithe brings your life under an open heaven. Under an open heaven. Brings your life, brings your family, brings your business, brings your resources under an open heaven. Also, the tithe connects your resources with the economy of heaven. It connects your resources with the economy of heaven. That's the second thing to note. Brings you under an open heaven. Connects your resources with the economy of heaven. And thirdly, the tithe gives God the license to be involved in your endeavor. It gives God the license to be involved with what you do. You are not left to yourself to figure out how your business or your things should explode. It gives God the license to be involved in your resources and with your endeavor. Very important. My own tithing began as a student in the high institution. Not because I was a pastor, I was going to become a pastor. I planned to ever be a pastor. I did that because I saw it in scripture. Obey the law of the tithe. Number two, exist as a blessing. Exist as a blessing. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 to 22. Genesis 8. 20 to 22, say, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again cast the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth.
Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Every time you see the day, yes. Every time you see the night, and it is followed by the day,
it means that the seed must be followed by the harvest. It's a law.
The only time not to expect the harvest to follow the seed
is when the day no longer follows the night. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. He said, but this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as the purpose set in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Please note this. Givers will never lack, and keepers can never have. Say that again. Givers will never lack, and keepers will never have. When people struggle to keep, they never have.
God is able to make all grace abound.
And I want you to look at this for the final time. The giving hand is always above the begging hand. If somebody says, can you help me? And he brings his hand. Do you give him from under his hand?
The hand that gives. The hand that is. I need one of the ushers here. The hand that gives, if I say take, receive it.
Do you see? See. See. Is it possible for me to give him like this? Do it the other way now. God has decided that the giving life is the life that permanently remains above. From this moment forward, you will never be under.
Exist as a blessing means exist as a distribute, a channel, not a depot. Exist as a distributor, not an accumulator. And I'm talking of strategic giving to the kingdom, to the poor, the less privileged, to the blessed of the Lord, who is also a blessing to your life.
God ordained
blessers of your life
exist as a blessing.
How many of you can you hold your fist like this. Just like this.
How do you feel?
Tight. Tensed. Pressure.
But can you do like this? How do you feel?
Free.
When the height is tight, life is tensed.
True.
When the hand is free, life is at ease. True.
Number three. Obey the law of the tithe. Number two, exist as a blessing. Number three, escape the trap of borrowing. Escape the trap of borrowing. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 12. He said, the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give you rain, to give the rain unto your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shall not borrow. Thou shalt lend to many nations. And thou shalt not borrow. Romans chapter 13 verse 8. He said, owe no man anything. Owe no man nothing but to love one another. One translation says, don't be in debt. The only debt you are meant to owe is the perpetual debt of love. If you find that translation, you can place it on the screen. Don't owe anything. You are only permitted to be indebted to loving perpetually. Don't run up debts. Except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. Don't run up debts. Don't. Am I communicating? What does borrowing do? Number one, borrowing is taking one's eyes off the provider to alternatives. When you enjoy borrowing, you have taken your eyes off the source of the provider to alternatives. You are saying to God, you can't meet my need. Let me help myself. You cannot, you are too slow for me. Let me help myself. And it is only when we look up to him that we are not ashamed. Psalm 34 and in verse 5. They looked up to him and they were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. What does borrowing do secondly? Borrowing is an attack on the future. It is emptying tomorrow into today. So that when tomorrow arrives, it is empty. Borrowing is an attack on the future. It is emptying tomorrow into today. So that when tomorrow arrives, it is empty. God sent you 10 million. In the month of September, to enjoy your life and to multiply the resources. But you have 11 million naira debt before the 10 million arrived. It just attacked the plan of God, attacked everything. And so God said, this man, I cannot help him. Let me just leave him alone to help himself. So that when tomorrow arrives, it is empty. I talked with a man, a billionaire man. He said, please tell Christian people, church people, they should not touch borrowing. Before he borrowed, he had up to $1 billion of his own money. International, global business person that does business with different nations. But he had the need to get some, what they call facility, to service some multi-billion project. And that's literally almost sank him. Pressure, blood pressure, all manner. We are now talking of how to get the money to pay the principal. Well, in fact, first, before you act, please, can we stop the interest from running? Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, he was saying,
you know those people? He said some of those high level, at the high level of those financial institutions, some of them are so highly deep in the other world, they don't mind putting you under pressure until you die. Then they inherit your properties. And it has happened before. Is that true or false? I've met Christian businessmen, at least I've met one, in billions, who said, I have never borrowed. And I have enough money of my own to commence and finish any project I want. I prophesy to somebody here,
every life under pressure is over forever. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer.
If you are in a business where they give you a term of payment, a repayment term, they give you a term of payment, 25% at so and so, 25% at so and so point, and so on. Strictly honor the terms of payment. Strategically, you are not indebted when that is a condition. If that can be avoided, fine. Otherwise, the only time you have left the covenant is when you have begun to default in the payment agreement. You are stepping out of covenant cover. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen.
Number four, avoid the spell of waste. We read Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9, in that last service, where he said, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. John chapter 6, after Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the thousands, in John chapter 6, verse 12, he said, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten them. Gather the fragments. Listen to this. Out of the garbage, say it another way, out of rubbish can come riches. What is called rubbish can end as riches. And out of your wastage is your great wealth. And I heard the voice of the Spirit in my heart saying, you can turn your crumbs to cash. The things that were on the floor wasting, they gathered them together and it became 12 baskets. Some years ago, I spoke with a man who was talking about how him and so-and-so person, bank owner, I think one or two of them, how they were at the same level before in the bank. I think the ancient bank of those days, either they were executive directors, yes, of the bank at the same level at that time. This one moved and is a bank owner now. The other one progressed and is a bank owner now. And this other guy is struggling for survival. You know what happened?
He said at that time he enjoyed flying around the world. Namibia is a beautiful country. Paris is a great place. Tel Aviv, Israel, wonderful. Singapore, Singapore. He traveled everywhere in exotic hotels. Vanity upon vanity. The Bible says what? All is vanity.
At the end of the day, his colleagues, his contemporaries are owners.
Mega banks. I still remember the name of one of them who is still the big, one of the biggest banks in this country. They were at the same level together. Am I communicating at all? Don't waste your life and waste your destiny by wasteful existence.
There is a future in the fragments and there is riches in the rubbish. There can be cash from the crumbs if only you will deploy. Let's move to point number 5, which is more like an extension of point number 4. Invest more and expend less. Invest more and expend less.
Whenever money enters the hand, the first thing to think about is not what to spend it on, but how to spread it far. Did you hear what I just said? It's not what to spend. What can I buy now? You know, in our African culture and African mentality, I heard a statistic. They said, in the hands of the Jews, the money that comes to their hand lasts more. It lasts far more than money that comes into the hand of the average African person. He wants to buy a shoe to show off. He wants to buy a suit to show off. He wants to buy a car that is bigger than his size. You know, at a certain level, there is a car you shouldn't be prizing. If anybody comes to you with such a car, it's a temptation. Bad temptation. There is even a cloth you shouldn't prize. See, I bought this cloth, I had it. You say, no, it's not for now. There are people wearing cloth and there are people it is cloth wearing them. Do you understand what I'm saying? In John chapter 6, verse 7 to 8, that thing that Jesus told them to do is an was that John chapter 6, verse? Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. And then he said, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and they sat down. That which was a loaf, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that could have been one person's lunch, became a seed of investment that multiplied. Now look at this other one in John chapter 2 and in verse 7 also. John chapter 2 and in verse 7. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Long story. Water turned to wine. That is a master investment principle. What's the meaning of that? Put your resources into systems that will enhance their value. That's the meaning. Put resources into systems and structures that will enhance their value and multiply their worth. What is in your hand, you can either drink it or put it inside the pot where it will multiply. Am I communicating? The H2O is water, and then the C6H12O6 will be a glucose-based wine, You know, you can have other chemical formulas, but that is basic for glucose. Am I communicating now? And so what has happened is that the H2O has multiplied times 6 to give you H2FO6, and then you have a carbon times 6 added. So it's like God taking what you have to multiply and then adding to it what you lack. Am I communicating? It's investment principle. Instead of drinking it as water, put it inside something that will turn it to wine. Put it inside a system, a structure. Look for how this thing will grow beyond what it is. And we have a world today where people will promise you, bring me 1,000 and I'll make it 3,000 at the end of the month. Please be careful with that time. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. There are many, many, many of these kind of platforms that wiped out people. There are people who have put 20 million, 100 million, 5 million, you know, monies that they had, end monies and monies of all manner. And then it just went all the way down the drain. You know, just let God guide you. The most important thing is let our mindset be investment. Let's be investment minded, not expenditure minded. Don't think expenditure. Don't live an expenditure driven life. Live an investment driven life. Something that brings out something. Somebody say aloud, amen. Delay your gratification so that you can maximize your destination. What the enemy, or what the whole world feels like, oh, this is the direction the whole world is going. Let me also go there. Let me try to look like the rest. No. Delay it so that you can have a guaranteed, fulfilled future. Somebody say amen. Invest more, expend less. And number 6, don't spend everything. Don't spend everything. Alright? This is close to the last thing we just said. The Bible said, where we read in Proverbs 21 and in verse 20, it said, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends up everything. These are all scriptures. Let there be a reserve in your house. Let there be a reserve somewhere. Whether it's an investment reserve, a strategic reserve, whatever it is, let it just be there. Let something be put aside for multiplication. If for nothing else. That was what happened to the woman. Shunammite, what's that? The prophet's widow. 2 Kings chapter 4. Look at from verse 1. Our time is going up. Now trust God. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in your house? Did you eat up everything? And she said, I don't have anything. I can't remember anything except a bottle of oil. You see, we just read that there is oil in the dwelling of the wise. Right? And he said, go. Borrow vessels. This is not borrow oil. It is get containers that you can multiply it into. Right? Borrow the container. And bring, and then empty vessels, not a few. Because somebody may say, but you say we shouldn't borrow. This is he asking them to borrow money? He's asking them to enlarge capacity. Hallelujah. Enlarge, bring, get capacity. Get capacity. Because you don't have capacity. Now you are not borrowing the substance, you are borrowing the container. Am I communicating? He didn't say, if you say borrow oil, then it's an issue. But it's now borrow the container. Demand on the container. Demand on what you can multiply the oil into. And he got the oil. He got the containers. And multiplied it into various containers. Listen to this as we begin to proceed. 2 things to note. First, the miracle of multiplication can only happen for those who have a reserve. God will multiply what you have, not what you don't have.
There was 5 loaves and 2 fishes before it could be multiplied. There was water at least before it can turn into wine. There was oil at least before it can be poured into other vessels. When God sees that you have enough wisdom not to eat up everything, He will show you ways of multiplication. Am I communicating? You have enough wisdom not to destroy everything. He will show you ways. And secondly, your storehouse is key to survival in times of emergency. It's key to survival in times of emergency. When there is a need to raise money at once, when there is a need, very, very cheap property offer. This land ideally should go for 100 million, but somebody wants to sell it for 20 million at any cost, and by all means, and doesn't care, and you have that available, and you're able to buy it, and then in a month later you sold it for 150 million or something. Times of something there. It's key to survive. Times of fortune. You are able to rise to the occasion when there is something to draw on. You see, there are people well dressed, look, going on the road, but they are going by mistake. They poured away the granite of the girl that is hawking granite, and there is, they don't have money from anywhere to pay it. Wahala. See how well dressed. See your coat. See your tie. See your coat. You are wearing coat. You are wearing tie. You have poured away granite. And you are wearing big shoe like soldier boot now. And you cannot pay for ordinary granite. Sell your shoe. Sell your shoe. Sell your shoe and pay for the granite. Praise the Lord. This is very, very important. Is somebody learning anything here? Don't ever say that I don't have anything. What can I put aside? Even if it was 1 naira, even if it was 1,000, even if it was 10,000, it is not the amount, it is the principle. Did you hear what I just said? It's not an issue of an amount now. It is the principle. The principle of something must be set aside. That principle moves God into action on your behalf if you are walking by His principle. It's not the amount involved now, it's the principle involved. Somebody say a loud amen. Number 7 right now. Possess kingdom vision. Possess kingdom vision. God told Abraham. Genesis chapter 13. Verse 14 and 15. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, westward. For the land which thou seest, to thee will I give thee, and to thy seed forever. Please, I want you to know 2 things. This is kingdom vision. Is looking out for what God is in need of. Looking out for what the kingdom has a need for that you can rise up to. Trying to get resources, not because you want to be materialistic, but because you want to enhance a kingdom. And listen to this. First, okay, go to the second. What man sees determines what God gives. What man sees determines what God gives.
Thirdly, and this is very important. Please don't forget this today. When you make the need of God to become your need, you will have no need to handle. If you got that, you can celebrate that without waiting for anybody. When you make the need of God to become your own need, you no longer has a need to tackle. Because God can't be stranded. I'll give you an example. In Israel, there was a need for a prophet. The prophets that were there, the Eli and his sons, were bastardizing the prophetic ministry, taking the offerings anyhow and messing up in the temple and so on. And a woman identified the need of God. Her name was Hannah. Even though she was looking for children before of her own, for as long as she was looking for children just for herself, that need was not handled. Until she saw, okay, Lord, I can see that this temple needs a priest. From today, I am no longer looking for a child. I am looking for a priest. Give me a child, and I will give you a priest. If you will give me a child, I will make you, I will give you that child, and no razor will come on his head all the days of his life. You look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 from verse 11. He was making a vow. And she vowed and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your handmaid, and remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come up his hand. I am looking for a son. You are looking for a priest. Give me a son. You have the priest. And God said, you don't have a prayer request. I am the one who has a request. I need a priest. And you say you want to give, you want to offer that priest. Take the son. And she said, take the priest. Stop looking for money. For looking for money's sake. Start looking for money that will make meaning in the kingdom. I see that crusades are available every year. Oh, every month, or at times twice in a month. What is the average cost of a crusade? Is it 50 million? Is it 100 million? There are places where the venue alone can be up to 10 million. What is the price? All right, Lord, I want to be able to run crusades every year for the next 10 years. I don't want the church to bring one naira. Give me the money that is meant to do it, and you have crusades free of charge. And God says, you are not looking for money. You only want to sponsor, to create a platform for my kingdom. Then take the monies and take extra. Because it is not possible for the pipe to conduct water and the pipe is dry. It's not possible for the pipe to conduct water and the pipe is dry. Somebody say amen. I think that those who cook in most restaurants, they make a provision for them sufficiently so that they are not smelling the food for nothing. Praise the Lord. I see someone here today. Jehovah God shall make you a sign and a wonder in your generation. Possess kingdom vision. Lord, I am not just looking for money. I want to make meaning in the kingdom and meaning in my generation. Before I will ever think of a house for myself, Many houses were built for God. As a matter of fact, we were in a rented house for 13 years, 6 months, in ministry. Church buildings were everywhere, and we forgot that we didn't have a house of our own.
Monies had passed through our hands that could build anything. All
flung into the kingdom. And God said, is that what you will do? House cannot be your problem. If I don't remember, at least I remember 2 or 3 locations where people say, we have a plot for you, we have a property for you, we have a house, or whatever they had, that I have not been able to see yet. Neither have I sent anybody to see it yet. Too busy. God is changing your story. Possess kingdom vision, and finally, partner. What? How did we say it? Enter into partnership with God. Enter into partnership. In Luke chapter 7, verse 1 all the way to verse 3. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was there unto him was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he will come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he will do this. For he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. That's partnership. And Jesus said, if only he built a church, let us go. Let us go. Partnership with God is the cure for hardship on earth. When you partner with God, you are is cure for hardship on earth. It's cure. Secondly, partnership with God is the way of provision from God. Partnership with God equals provision from heaven. That is God, me and you are together. Now I tell you a story. And this story, I heard it first from God's servant, Pastor E.A. Adeboye. He was in Tulsa, Oklahoma for a Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. And at that time, camp meeting is jammed to capacity. I think they used the maybe center of the Oral Roberts University. Filled everywhere. One evening, a man came and his wife. And he said to the audience of tens of thousands of people, he said, my wife and I want to do something. He said, please, everyone here tonight, give as much as you can. Because everything you all give, my wife and myself will double it. Hello? Did you hear what I just said? Out of this church now, 2 people will stand up and come and stand here, man and wife. I say, church members at Glory Dome here, I want you to try your best so that everything you give, me and my wife, when they calculate it, we will multiply it by 2. Only 2 of us will double it. Pastor Adeboye said, everybody got angry. What kind of leading is this? What kind of leading? Who does he think he is? So people gave angrily. Anybody wanted to give 1 naira, maybe he gave 10 naira. So that let us see how he can double it. 19, can't remember the year. By the 1978, by the time they counted the money, it was $3.5 million of 1978 to show you how angry people were. $3.5 million of that time will be $3.5 billion now, if possible. So the man stood up. Everybody waited for them to count the money. Nobody went. I mean, we have to wait. Let's see how this arrogant man can pay the money.
Everybody waited.
By the time they finished the count, say $3.5 million. The man stood up with his wife. He looked around. He said, Kai, I'm disappointed. All of you, this is all you can give. All of you, $3.5 million. Well, we fulfill our promise check of $7 million. He doubled it. That's $10.5 million in one night. He doubled the check. What? What man and wife? Pastor Adeboye said, when the meeting finished, he followed him.
Not to ask him for money,
but to ask him, what is your secret? How can you do a thing like this? You will be shocked at what the man said. The man said he started business 3 years ago.
Only 3 years ago, in the year of 1975, with $500.
And told God, other people give you 10% and keep 90%. You are bigger than us. Give me money and I will give you 90% and keep 10%. I will pay the tithe the other way around.
I will hold only 10%. I give you 90%.
And God said, you mean what you are saying? Bam! It rushed. He gave 90% and kept 10%. Bam! Bam! It rushed again. He kept 90%. He kept 10%. Gave God all 90%. Bam! 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 Before you can say, under 3 years, he was able to write a check of 7 million and give. And in my thinking, I may be wrong, he has already done his obligations. This is what is still with him that he is giving. It's called partnership with God. I am not looking for money for me. I want me and you to do business. And I want the kingdom to profit from the business. It's a new day for you. Your struggles are over forever.
Stand up on your feet and shout the loudest, amen. Say amen like a believer. A louder believer's amen.
Somebody received something today, say amen. Somebody believes that this message was God had you in mind for this message. Shout the loudest, amen.
Well, lift up your hands and lift your voice and begin to appreciate him for what you have received. Appreciate him, honor him for what you have received. Adore him for what you have received. Honor him, glorify him, worship him. Lift your hands and lift your voice. Appreciate him, honor him, adore him. Worship him, glorify him. Father, we worship you, we honor you, we adore you. Be glorified, be honored, be adored.
In the name of Jesus. Lift those two hands. The Bible says we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, unto us. And say after me, say, Father, I come to seek you first. I come to seek you first and seek the kingdom. And I believe that every other thing shall be added unto me. I'm here to seek you. And I believe everything I need shall be added. Lift up your hands. Lift your hands. And how great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God.
all will see how great. How great is our God. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me.
Sing with me.
How great is our God. All will see.
All will see.
All will see.
My heart will sing. My heart will sing.
How great is our God.
You are the name.
Father, we thank you for this moment. Father, we give you the praise.
While we are in this mood,
that's right. I want everyone here today in need of surrender to Jesus, in need of forgiveness for your sins, to quickly step forward here, pick your Bibles, pick your Bibles. And you're saying, Pastor, I have heard the message and I need, no, I must seek first his kingdom and his righteousness so everything can be added unto me. I want to make my ways right with Jesus. Pick your Bibles, and come forward and let us receive you.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this testing of my soul.
I'll give you the count of seven. One.
Bread of heaven.
Two. No. Three. Quickly. Forward.
Heal my cup, Lord. Heal my cup, Lord.
Thank you.
and make me whole. And like that woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And now I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry.
One more time. Anywhere you are, you are bound by an addiction, a lifestyle you are not happy with, and you want it broken. Quickly come forward, drinking, smoking, masturbation, womanizing, whatever lifestyle, gambling, fraud. You want that yoke broken. Come forward, pick your Bibles and your bags, and let us pray for you. Give you the count of seven.
Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup.
One. Keep coming.
I lift it up, Lord.
How my quest. He's testing up my soul. Bread up, heaven. Bread up, heaven. He's the healer. All of you standing, place your hand on your chest and say this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I come before you today to surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Today, I have decided to follow you. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you and to do your will, I receive it now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I ask that the hold of the enemy be broken off your life. In Jesus' name.